Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning, 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. I'm going to be talking this morning with Paul Shemp, a Republican nominee for election as governor of Illinois in the upcoming primary election in June. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me in. It's good to see you again. And you know, we've got a full day today, but then we'll be shutting it down for the Easter holiday. So I want to wish everybody a happy Easter before I forget. It looks like we're going to have decent weather here in southern Illinois. And I always, what I always like is if the dogwood blossoms open up, you know, right around Easter Sunday. That to me is just one of my favorite things about southern Illinois.
Of course, the thing concerns me a little bit. They do have always heard that if it rains on Easter Sunday, it'll rain for the next seven Sundays. And I think there's a chance of rain in the forecast. So we'll hope maybe it goes away, you know.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me either. I often joke that we live in the southern Illinois rainforest, and it seems that we do get a lot of rain.
Exactly. So a lot of things we can talk about today.
Our campaign for governor is going well. We had announced our New Start for Illinois policy agenda a couple weeks ago, so we'll be able to talk about that. I can also share my thoughts about the legislative session that just wrapped up on April 9th early in the morning, and looking forward to having a great discussion this morning.
All right, great. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we will come back and talk with Paul Shemp on the People Speak right after this. Welcome back. Talking with Paul Shemp, the Republican candidate for the nomination for Illinois governor, with us this morning. One thing I'm starting to notice, a lot of Paul Shemp signs popping up out there.
You know, in southwestern Illinois, you see a lot of my signs going up. If you want a yard sign, my campaign office in Waterloo is open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Fridays. Every Friday, that campaign office is open, and that's where you can come in and pick up signs or even t-shirts. We'll give you some t-shirts if you'd if you'd like a t-shirt as well. So that's the hours that we have our campaign office, and it is in the little strip mall in front of the Waterloo Rural King is where you can find the Citizens for Shemp office.
We talked before we went on the air, you're kind of working towards something called a New Start for Illinois.
We are. My running mate is Carolyn Schofield, and you run for Illinois governor and lieutenant governor as a team. And Carolyn and I have released our policy agenda that we are running on. It's called A New Start for Illinois. We have lots of ideas, but the New Start for Illinois is built around six pillars, and that's just because, you know, if you give people like 25 ideas, nobody's going to remember it. So we've kind of gotten the top six of our ideas are part of this New Start for Illinois policy proposal. We made that announcement about 2 weeks ago that we unveiled that, and the response has been tremendous. The reason the response is so good is these are not necessarily Republican ideas. These are American ideas, American values that everybody across the political spectrum can get behind. So, you know, they're really kind of lumped into three general areas: parents' rights, restoring trust in government, and then providing safe families and communities. And in order to achieve those three goals, you know, we have the six policy proposals. And really, you know, I don't know how much time we have before the break, but I'll talk about the two parents' rights proposals right now. When I start talking about parents' rights, I'm talking about the idea that it should be parents, not the government, that determine their kids' education, health care, and maturity into adulthood. And I didn't come up with that idea in response to the mask mandates or the vaccine mandates, I came up with the idea for a parents' bill of rights. Really, it was a couple years ago when I was a state senator, and we were debating a bill on the floor of the Illinois Senate that would allow schools to give contraception to 12-year-olds without even notifying the parents. And I don't lose my temper very often. I think, you know, in close to 21 years of marriage, Lori has seen the veins pop in my neck maybe four times. Well, the last time the veins popped in my neck was at that, during that Senate floor debate. Mm-hmm. And what I said at the time was, look, this is Illinois, I get it. We've gotten used to taxes that are too high and state government that is incompetent. But I will never get used to accept or tolerate a government that prevents me from raising my children in accordance with my values.
Right.
And that's what that bill did. The idea that schools would give contraception to 12-year-olds without even informing the parents, that just really set me off. And based on that, I said, you know what, we need some type of a rebalance, a reset. We need something that makes it clear that it's parents that have control, you know, that determine their kids' education and health care, not the government. So as part of our New Start for Illinois proposal, we have two pillars of that deal with parents' rights. One is my friend Terry Bryant, our state senator, who took over for me as the state senator for this region after I didn't run for re-election. She proposed a constitutional amendment to the Illinois Constitution, modeled kind of after the Second Amendment. And that proposed constitutional amendment, just, it's very simple. It says the right of parents to determine their kids' education and health care shall not be infringed. I support that. I helped her draft that. And that is pillar number one of our New Start for Illinois, is a constitutional amendment that's going to clarify that it's parents, not the government, that determine their kids' education and health care. The second pillar of our New Start for Illinois is a requirement for curriculum transparency in order to receive state education funding. What I mean by that is, if you're going to get education funding from the state of Illinois, if your school district is going to get state aid, mm-hmm. you have to be transparent in terms of your curriculum. Parents need to see what their kids are being taught. Exactly. And people say, oh, well, that's in place already. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, and as a parent, you know, who is, you know, trying to help my boys with their homework, mm-hmm. I've had a tough time, you know, seeing what, you know, what they are being taught. You know, I've asked my oldest son, I'm like, okay, where's the source material, you know, that you're being taught? And he can't show it to me. He's like, well, you know, we see it in class, but I don't have textbooks. I don't, you know, I can't show it to you, you know. So, you know, right there, you know, that's an example of a parent, you know, me, mm-hmm. not being able to see what my child is being taught. And I'm not asking, you know, I'm not saying that parents should have veto power. If you as a parent don't like something, talk to the teacher, talk to the administrator, talk to the school board members, you know, but parents need to be able to know what their kids are being taught. So curriculum transparency ought to be a requirement for education funding in Illinois. And that's something that, when I'm governor and the state superintendent of schools answers to me, that's something that we can implement. So those are the two provisions of the New Start for Illinois that have to do with parents' rights.
You're talking about as far as not being able to show you what they were being taught. And I mean, growing up, you know, we always had textbooks you brought home. My daughter even went to school over in Steelville. Had textbooks, so you could look through, see what they were being taught, what was being learned. I said, even if they want to go to an ebook, they should be able to have it downloaded on their iPads or Chromebooks or whatever, you know. But the parents should be able to have access to see what their child is being taught.
Right, and I don't think that's too much to ask. And the intent is not to be overly burdensome. I mean, we need local control of education, mm-hmm. and you know, whatever. means the local school districts want to use to make their curriculum transparent, whether they want to have a standardized website or whether they want to put it on each of the teachers to reach out with the parents. I don't care. You know, I want local control of education, but there has to be a principle that is abided by, which is that you have curriculum transparency so that parents can see what their children are being taught.
All right, which is just common sense.
It should be, but unfortunately, sometimes that value is lacking in Illinois.
I'll tell you what, we got another break here. We'll go ahead and throw that in real quick here and come back here. Listen to the People Speak here on Rural Country 1230 97.3 WHCO. Welcome back again. We're talking with Paul Schimpf today here on the People Speak. I'm Jeff, and we were talking about your new start for Illinois.
Yeah, we covered I covered the parents' rights piece of it. The first two pillars, the parents' rights constitutional amendment, and then the curriculum transparency. Moving on to the safe families and safe communities piece of it, the two proposals that we have are, one deals with law enforcement and our first responders. I mean, and really the bottom line is, if we want to do something about crime in Illinois, we have to have a governor that's going to unequivocally support our law enforcement community. One of the proposals that we have in the New Start policy agenda is to increase the legal protections that we give to law enforcement, first responders, and corrections officers. Mm-hmm. And what we mean by that is, in Illinois, we have, you know, hate crimes laws in Illinois. Hate crimes law basically says that penalties are enhanced if you attack an individual because of their membership in a group. Well, if there is a group that deserves protection, if anybody does, it is our law enforcement community and our first responders. So our proposal is that, you know, it should be a hate crime if you attack a cop because just simply because they're a cop. So, you know, somebody decides that they're going to, you know, do a terrorist attack against a cop, or they're just going to go, you know, take a shot at a cop simply because they're, you know, wearing the uniform and putting their lives on the line for us. That should be considered a hate crime in Illinois. So that's pillar number three of the New Start for Illinois. The fourth proposal in the New Start for Illinois reflects the fact that property taxes are a threat to people's financial security. You know, I'm a firm believer that the power to tax is the power to destroy. And, you know, I've seen property taxes go up not via a referendum or anything like that where somebody's taking a vote. Mm-hmm. A lot of times your property taxes will go up simply because your property values have been reassessed. I've been in Illinois politics for 8 years now. Everybody's always talking about how bad property taxes in Illinois are, but in 8 years, not a darn thing has been done about it. So we are proposing a fundamental change to the way you do property taxes in Illinois. We are saying that you should only be able to have your property value reassessed if you change title, meaning the property is sold, or if the zoning is changed. If one of those two factors is not in play, your property value cannot be reassessed. And that means that your property taxes will only be going up via a referendum or a vote. They're not going to go up via an assessment. So that's a fundamental change. That's a controversial proposal. Some people are going to say, well, that's going to result in inequity. Mm-hmm. My response to that is, there's already inequity in our property taxes. I want to give people security that they can know, okay, you know, I've made my property purchase. I have a budget that I am relying on. I know that my property taxes are not going to go up unless somebody takes a vote on it, unless there's a referendum. So your property taxes will not go up unless it's done via a vote where the rates go up or the levy goes up. So that's a fundamental change, but that's our fourth proposal for the New Start for Illinois. The last two pieces of the New Start for Illinois have to deal with restoring trust in government. Pillar number five is, we need to make a change to the way administrative rules are put out. We have a huge problem in Illinois with administrative overreach. We have these administrative agencies that instead of implementing the laws that the Illinois legislature passes, they are making their own laws. You know, they are putting out regulations that go well beyond the scope of anything that is passed by the legislature. And having been on JCAR for 2 years, the Joint Committee for Administrative Rules, when I was a senator, I know exactly how that process works, what the process is for administrative agencies like the Illinois State Board of Education to put out rules that are going to impact people's lives. And what we are proposing is that if an administrative agency wants to put out a rule on an emergency basis or any rule that raises fees and penalties, that doesn't have a presumption of legality. It is only effective unless it gets 7 yes votes from the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. So that's going to make it much more difficult for administrative agencies to be putting out new administrative rules and regulations. So that's something that is going to really rein in the Illinois administrative agencies, and that's going to go a long way to restoring trust in government. So that's pillar number 5 of the New Start for Illinois. And then the last pillar has to do with the way we charge taxes in Illinois. We have predatory government in Illinois. Nobody trusts our government. If we want to stop predatory government, it begins by stopping predatory practices. And you and I have had this discussion about why gas is so expensive in Illinois. The fact that you have motor fuel plus motor fuel taxes, federal, state motor fuel taxes, and then local motor fuel taxes. But then the state of Illinois comes in for a second bite at the apple and charges sales tax on the entire aggregate amount. That offends me. I do not think a government has any business charging us tax on tax. That is the ultimate predatory practice, and we are proposing a constitutional amendment that just says governments in Illinois shall not charge tax on tax. You should not be able to charge people tax on the tax that they are already paying. That, to me, is obscene. That is the ultimate predatory practice. We need to stop that if we're ever going to restore trust in government. So that's the New Start for Illinois policy proposal. 6 really common sense proposals that, you know, that everybody, regardless of whether you're Democrat or Republican, you can get behind those because, you know, they're based on not Republican values, but American values. And that's what, you know, that's what we're proposing to unify the people of Illinois.
I'm sure the tax on a tax, if you could bring back some of the founding fathers of this country, they would say, this is exactly what we didn't want. You know, this is why we...
Well, they fought a revolution because they said that taxation without representation is tyranny. Well, you know, I'm going to add to that by saying charging tax on tax is obscene, and it has no place in a representative government or a functioning democracy.
Exactly. General Assembly just, I guess, recently wrapped up their session or whatever, and
they did. We have a budget in Illinois, a record budget, in that where I think we're going to spend $46.5 billion. I think now is the new amount, and the people of Illinois deserve better than what they're getting out of the Illinois General Assembly. I mean, this is more of the same. It is a budget that produces a lot of sound bites, but it doesn't produce any solutions. It doesn't really do anything to address our long-term lack of fiscal solvency. This is something where, you know, there was some extra revenue coming in, and once again, the Democrats in Springfield have increased spending across the board. This was an opportunity that really even some Democrats now are saying, we could have put probably close to $2 billion into the pension system to try to make up for the shortfalls, you know, where we stole stuff in the past. And they chose not to do that. The other thing that was very disappointing is this was a budget that was passed without transparency. Once again, you had a situation where you had elected officials being given a budget implementation bill. There's always two parts of every budget. You have the top line, kind of like spending amounts, and then you have what's called the BIMP, the budget implementation plan, which talks about exactly how, you know, how the agencies are supposed to be doing stuff. They receive, the elected officials receive the BIMP approximately 2 hours before they had to vote on it. And this was a bill that was close to 3,500 pages in length. Why can we not have a cooling off period where the budget gets filed and everybody has a chance to look at it? The advocacy groups have a chance to take it apart. And then the people of Illinois know what's in it. They can talk with their representatives. And then we have a vote a couple days later. There's no reason why they couldn't do that. And it's just, you know, it's more empty rhetoric out of the Democratic leadership in Springfield who say, well, the people of Illinois don't trust us. Okay, well, the reason that they're not trusting you is because you're not governing in a trustworthy manner. The truth is not afraid of transparency, and a solution does not require silence. If you have a budget that you believe is a good budget, give people time to look at it and examine it before you call it for a vote. So it's really, you know, what we got out of Springfield was just more of the same, no transparency, no fundamental reforms, more increased spending, more government. And we're not gonna see a change out of Springfield until we have a governor who is going to hold people accountable and who is going to insist on transparency in the legislative process. And, you know, when I am governor, I'm going to veto legislation that is not passed in a transparent process, and it'll get some transparency. It'll get that cooling off period because I will be vetoing it to provide that.
Right. All right. Well, we're just about out of time, but any final?
No, just once again, like to wish everybody a happy and blessed Easter. I hope that you have time to celebrate with your family and reflect on all the blessings that, you know, that we have in our lives here in Southern Illinois.
All right, Paul Schimpf, and we'll hopefully get a chance to talk to you again next month. And
always looking forward to it. We'll be back in next month on the kind of the normal scheduled time.
All right. Great. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.